Rise and shine, for your light has come. You know, sometimes that's just what you need to do. You just need to let go of you. Get over you. Amen. Hallelujah. Do it unto the Lord. You know, David, it says that David danced before the Lord with all his might. So his body was also engaged in his worship. And of course, Michal, you know, Saul's daughter, criticized him. Said, how dare you, you know, humiliate yourself like that. But you know, sometimes that's what you need to do, is you need to get over you. I need to get over me. And sometimes that's the best way to do it. Do the opposite of what that other party is telling you to do, right? Well, I've got my dignity. I don't believe heaven is a boring place. And I don't believe there's people bummed out in heaven. Amen. There's no depression in heaven. There's joy. There's celebration. The ecstasy of being in the very presence. Amen. The literal presence of the Lord. We have a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. We have the precious Holy Spirit given to us. But there's going to be the full revelation. We have a reason to live. And we've got a reason to die. Amen. I was killing myself in the world. You know, and I was a fool for the devil. Now I've got a new normal. And I'm going to live for Jesus. And yeah, the world's not going to think you're normal, but actually, they didn't think Jesus was normal either. Think about it. To the point where they wanted to get rid of him, and they did. It didn't end there, did it? Thank you, Lord. Body of Christ needs to be free. Amen. Not free to sin, but free to rejoice, free to run, free to serve, free to love. That's what we're called to do. God bless you. Thank you for coming today. Aren't you glad you didn't listen to that other voice this morning, right? And you know, if you're bound by anything, God doesn't want you to stay there. God wants you to get over you and go after Him. Amen. We really are the biggest hindrance. It's our own unbelief. We get in the way of what God wants to do. And God, you know, did not call His people out of Egypt, amen, to stay with Egypt in their heart, but to live with Egypt in their heart. But God wants to deliver us, amen, completely, even from the mindset that we have had from our days of slavery before Christ. So the Lord is at work in all of our lives. We're all somewhere along the journey. That's why we got to be patient with each other. Amen. And it's okay. You're struggling with something. We all struggle with things at times, you know. I can remember the day I arrived. Not. But God is good, you know. God is changing hearts and lives. And He doesn't throw you away because you make a mistake. He's a good, good Father. But how many would agree with me that it's just wise to listen to His voice? Amen. God's smarter than we are. He knows what works. I've never been disappointed when I've listened to His voice. I've never been disappointed when I've listened, even when it hurt to do so. Even when it meant I had to deny myself something. Every time I've listened to His voice, it's always been awesome. However, I've been disappointed the times I haven't listened to His voice. We all know what that's like. So we're learning how to, amen, listen to the right voice. We're under new ownership in Christ. We need to listen to the Master now. And that old dude, amen, has got to take a seat because he's no longer welcome. He's any kind of thing that he wants to speak into your life is illegal for you now. So we need to make sure that we're listening to what God is saying. And we need to shut off, amen, everything the enemy wants to tell us. If it doesn't agree with what God says, it's illegal. And we don't want to give him any legal grounds by agreeing with him. Amen. That's what he's looking for. He just wants you to agree with him so he has legal access to mess you up. Amen. Even as believers, how many know the devil will mess you up real good if you start listening to him? You know, God wants to lift us up, folks, even above our emotions. Amen. Above, we have to rise up above the soulish realm of just what feels good. Because if we're just directed by our feelings, we will often be in trouble because sometimes God's going to take us to places where it's not going to feel good. But sometimes you have to feel bad before you can feel good. Somebody say amen. Amen. Sometimes there has to be weeping that endures for the night, right? For the joy to come in the morning. That's how it works. There is evening and morning, amen. There is valley and mountaintop in our lives. But God is the God of the mountain and the valley. And when we walk through that valley, He says, I'll be with you. When you're going through that river, He says, it won't overflow you. He's faithful. Hang on to Jesus. Hang on to His Word, what He says. Oh, hallelujah. There's times when, folks, we just wonder, God, are You there? Are You still there? And sometimes God is silent. But guess what? God doesn't lie. And He's there. He wants us to trust Him. Amen. And guys, listen, if you came in late, we're going to have a potluck afterwards. If you didn't bring anything, don't worry about it. Just come and be our guest today. And let's all make a point to sit with somebody that we don't usually sit with. Okay? Everybody okay with that? Sit with somebody you don't usually sit with. Well, I don't know. See, I used to be one of those people that says, I don't know if I want to sit with him. I'm glad that Jesus loves me. Amen. And God didn't say that about me. He says, He's the one I want. I'll take the least likely. I've said it before, but God wanted variety in His garden. And He doesn't want cookie cutter Christians that all look the same, act the same. Amen. We have different gifts, different anointing, different looks. Amen. God said, I want variety in my garden. So the body of Christ is diverse, but it's beautiful when we're united. And it is the anointing that unites us. It is the Spirit of the Lord that brings us into true harmony. It's not that we can legislate unity. How many know the world has been trying to legislate unity? We're trying to have peace, world peace. And maybe if we just have one more negotiation, we'll have peace. Not. There is no peace, saith the Lord to the wicked. Amen. And there's no peace except through the Prince of Peace. There will be peace on earth and goodwill towards men when Jesus Christ returns. Amen. The second time and establishes His throne in Jerusalem. The Bible says very clearly that He shall reign over all the earth. Amen. Right now we see the rise of Antichrist and the counterfeit is everywhere. God is getting the people ready, though, in the midst of this, refining His church, even through the fire, to make us ready for eternity. And if we suffer with Him, we shall also reign with Him. Amen? We shall rule with Him. So today, we want to talk about the priestly anointing. We've been talking about the kingly anointing, the prophetic anointing, and today it's going to be the priestly anointing. And you know it as well as I do that we've been called to this. Amen. To these three offices, the body of Christ is to be the full expression of Christ in the earth. And it's not going to be through one individual or a few individuals. It's going to be through the corporate body of Christ that there will be a full expression of Christ in the earth. Amen. So we need each other and we need to be together and we need to work together and we need to receive the benefit of one another's gifting. You have something that I need. I have something that you need. Amen. It's not like the pastor has it all and we just kind of sit and week after week and listen and receive more. And no, it's about the body of Christ being equipped for the work of the ministry together, corporately. Amen. Expressing the Lord according to the gift of God that's in us. And that's going to look differently. And so we need to celebrate the differences that we have in the Lord. We need to say, you know what? I love your gift because it's a blessing to me. I don't have to covet what you have. Amen? And I don't have to be jealous over what you have. Why? Because God's the one who decides. And what you have ultimately belongs to me anyways. Why? Because we're all connected through the Spirit into one body. Do you understand how that works? God will use each one of us differently, but we're all connected to the same vine, the same source, Jesus Christ. And so each gift is going to be unique and it's going to be different. We're going to look at things a little bit differently. We're going to have different perspectives. Amen. Even when we study Scripture, just because somebody doesn't have the exact perspective I do, doesn't mean that they're wrong necessarily. There is false doctrine, of course, there's false teaching. But sometimes, it's based upon our gifting, how we perceive and understand Scripture. And that's why we need teachers. That's why we need others to speak into our lives so that together we may grow up into Christ into a mature, full person. Amen? A full expression. So our giftings are different, but as we mature and as we grow in Christ, we become more like Jesus individually. Does that make sense? Because we're receiving the benefit from the body of Christ. That's why I like to allow people to speak and to share. Amen. And even have guests come in, because we're getting different perspective. Amen. And we all see things through our own window. And we have to be careful that, again, we don't think that because they don't see it exactly the way I do, that we're going to have a showdown. We're going to have an argument. And I'm going to prove that I'm right and you're wrong. How many know that's pride? That's the flesh that would do that. If a person is not open and receptive to what God is saying, let it go. How many know that God met us in a time when we were open? Maybe desperate even. I know I was. But that was a time when He revealed Himself to me. And began to reveal Himself. So prophetic ministry is basically you and I speaking forth the words of God as the Spirit of the Lord gives us that utterance, as He gives us the ability to speak. The kingly anointing is so that we will be equipped or empowered to expand the kingdom of God primarily through the preaching of the gospel. And as we go, we are to declare the kingdom of heaven is where? Among you. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons, raise the dead. See, the kingdom is among you because the Spirit of God is here and He dwells in us. And so the kingly anointing is where you can speak to the mountain, as Jesus said. It's commanding power. Amen? Now, a king only has authority because it has been given to him, because he has been anointed to be king. Amen. You don't see where people just say, well, you do. They're called dictators or a coup. But if it's done legally and it's done right, it's done correctly, a king will have been chosen and God will anoint that individual to reign, even in the earth realm. That's why we have to be careful. If you read Romans 13 sometime, it talks about being subject to the earthly authorities as well. Because there is no authority except that which God has given. And so the priestly anointing is where we are offering spiritual sacrifices to the Lord. Where we are making petitions known to God. Where we are giving prayers on behalf of others. We offer our thanks today. How many know we were operating in the priestly anointing today, even as we give thanks to God, offering spiritual sacrifices, amen, of thanksgiving and praise. Thanksgiving and praise. So if we are functioning in our priestly anointing, we will give thanks and we will give praise to God. It gets quiet sometimes when I say that. But folks, I can back everything up I'm saying, amen, with this book right here, with the Word of God. So what is the main difference between a prophet and a priest? A prophet takes God's message to the people. And a priest basically takes the message of the people to God. I have a need. Would you pray for me? Hear me? Or we observe something. And we about somebody where they need help. We know they need prayer. Maybe they're struggling with something in their life. And so as a priest, we take that petition before the Father. Amen. So how many would agree with me that prayer is absolutely essential to your victory? If you don't have prayer, you don't have power, you will not have victory. You will be subject to every demon and devil out there unless you are a prayer person, a person of prayer. Anybody who has a relationship with Jesus, who prays, amen, and spends time with God, who walks with God throughout their day, they walk in the victory. Why? Because it's the Lord Himself who clothes us. He keeps us. If we don't have a relationship with Jesus, or if we just depend upon Sunday or when the church gets together, how many know that you're not going to do very well? I mean, there's a lot of people that can shout in church, but how are you shouting out in the parking lot? I mean, there's some people, they'll walk out of this place, and boy, before they hit their car, they're already back under something. Because why? They were in association, but they hadn't had the transformation personally. You must be born again. You can feel good in church and yet not be saved. Why? Because God feels good. And you're in the presence. I hear people say, I like going to church because I feel peaceful there. And well, yeah, you should. Because He is the Prince of Peace. But that don't save you. You must be born again. And you can't be born again until you come to the end of yourself. And do you know what God is doing in all of us? He's bringing us to the end of ourselves. He's saying, I want you to die to yourself. Get over yourself. Be done with yourself. Because I want you to be my priest. A priest must be consecrated, fully devoted to the service of God and His people. And so in 1 Peter 2:9, we read this. I send this out often because it is one of my life verses, but because it speaks about our identity in Christ. Listen to this. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may do what? Proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Why did God call us out? So that we might proclaim the praises of Him who called us out. Are you hearing me? That we may speak of the goodness of the Lord. That we may bear witness to the goodness of God. That's what gospel means, good news. There are people who are literally dying and going to hell who've never had an opportunity. Do we live among people? Do we work among people? Do we rub elbows with people every day? Are we aware that Jesus shed His blood for the souls of people? Do you know that Jesus shed His blood for your enemies too? That's why Jesus said, love your enemies. You might be able to win them. You wouldn't want, if you knew how horrible hell is, you're not going to want anybody to go there. Amen. Even your enemies. Now let's take a look back here at a type in the Old Testament. Aaron was the high priest, the first high priest. He was anointed, amen, to minister to the Lord and to the people. And let's look at this in Exodus chapter 40 and verse 12. Then you shall bring Aaron and his sons. Everybody say his sons. To the door of the tabernacle of meeting and wash them with water. You shall put the holy garments on Aaron and anoint him and consecrate him that he may minister to me as priest. Now Aaron is a type of Christ. We knew that, right? Jesus Christ is our great high priest. So we're looking at a shadow or a type of Christ in the Aaronic and also the Levitical priesthood. If you look at what God instructed them to do, and when Moses gave these instructions here, when God gave these instructions to Moses, it was so that they were, first of all, they were to be very careful to observe everything specifically as God directed him. Why? Because it was to show us a picture of the Messiah, of Jesus Christ, being the great high priest. And so as believers, we're called to the priestly office. Christ was born, amen, for that reason, to eventually become our great high priest, to represent us in heaven at the right hand of the Father. Aren't you glad that we have an advocate? How many ever been to court before? Don't raise your hand. I've been to court before. And boy, it's pretty good to know that there's somebody there that's got your back, right? Called your advocate, I mean your defense attorney. How many know that that's what Jesus does for us? If we turn to Him, He will, amen, defend us. The enemy will come with the accusation. But Jesus will say, wait a minute, that sin's been dealt with. Father, it's all good. Forgiven. Debt canceled. How many have here have had a debt canceled before? How many have gotten less than what you've deserved before? That's God. See, that's grace. That's what grace looks like. And so, we are called to this office. But just like Aaron was born to be high priest, and Christ was born, amen, to be high priest, or came in the form of a man, so you and I also hear this. In order for us to be a high, not a high priest, but a priest, we must be what? Born again. You see, a lot of people think that if I just make improvements to my life, if I do enough good, then I'll be okay with God. Me and God are tight. You know, I've turned over a new leaf. I've been a good person. I quit doing the dope. I quit doing the bad stuff. And now I'm a pretty good person. And certainly God will take me to heaven. The problem is that all of us have sinned, right? And as long as there's sin, you're disqualified from being in His presence. And the only hope that we have is to turn to the sinless one. Amen. Turn to the one who paid the price for those sins and cry out for mercy. Don't come before God with your list of do's and don'ts and how good you were. Amen. Don't be like the publican who, you know, or the Pharisee who said, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like other men. But be like the publican who beat his breast and say, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Amen. Because we're all in that place of needing God's mercy. If we got what was fair, none of us would be there. And so in 1 Peter 2, in verse 2, it says, as newborn babes, that's talking about the new birth, this is a spiritual regeneration by the Holy Spirit, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Verse 4, coming to Him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. This is speaking of Christ. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to do what? Offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm a priest unto God. Amen. I just like to do that. I don't know. I want us to get this, though. I want us to think about it, you know. God gave Moses these instructions, you know. And let's look at this again in verse 12 of Exodus chapter 14. He says, first of all, bring Aaron and his sons. Now, Aaron represents who? Christ, right? Who do you think his sons would be? Amen. In Christ, right? Those in Christ. And he says, wash them with water. Put the holy garments on Aaron and anoint him and consecrate him that he may minister to me as priest. Jesus is our forerunner. Amen. He went before us as our high priest. He became not only the sacrifice, but also the priest. The Bible is very clear that Jesus took his own blood into heaven itself and sprinkled it on the mercy seat as high priest. And isn't it amazing? He was our sacrifice, but also our high priest. Now, the priests, number one, the priests were to be washed with what? Pure water. Wash them with water. The priests were to be totally stripped of their clothing and washed with pure water at this laver or this basin. Now, in this basin, it had brass mirrors in there. And so as they would go to the laver to wash, they could actually see their reflection. Amen? And as we look into the Word, we see a reflection. Amen? We can see ourselves. We can see a picture of what we really look like. Amen? And sometimes, you know, when we get up in the morning, we look at that mirror and say, oh my word, do something with that. I know none of you do, but I do sometimes. It's just like, yeah, I have to go slow at it, so I don't traumatize myself or anything. But anyways, the priests, they were totally stripped of their own clothing. What does this mean? Why do you think they had to take their old clothing off? Because our righteousness or our clothing is not acceptable to God. Isn't that what happened with Adam and Eve? They put fig leaves together to cover their nakedness. God says, it's not going to work. I'm going to have to cover you. And there had to be a sacrifice. Without the shedding of blood, there is no covering. Amen? And so this water represents the Word of God. John 15:3, Jesus said, you are already clean because of the Word which I have spoken to you. Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the Word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Remember, Jesus was the Lamb of God. Amen. He was sinless. He was without spot or blemish. That's why they couldn't use any sacrifice under the old system. It had to be without blemish, because it was always giving us a picture of Jesus. And so it had to be without blemish, even as Christ was without sin. Amen. And the only one without sin. And so that way he could be our faithful high priest. He could be our sacrifice and we could have forgiveness today. Thank God for that. He says in verse 27 that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without. Does God want a holy people? Does God want a worldly church? A world-conforming church? Compromising church? Lukewarm church? On fire, right? Fully immersed in Him. Baptized, amen? Walking in the glory of God. So now listen. In Leviticus chapter 14, we don't have time to go there today. In verse 5 through 7, we see also a type of how this works. God did everything precisely, set everything up precisely in its order to show us an example or a type or shadow of Christ. The living water, amen, and there was a bird of atonement that was used to cleanse the lepers. Remember, leprosy represents sin, right? And they would have to cover themselves and walk around and say, unclean, unclean. Well, they were to take two birds, and one bird was the bird of atonement or sacrifice, and they would have to slay the bird, and the blood would be mingled into living or moving water. And then they would take the water and the blood, and they would apply it to the leper. Are you hearing me? To cleanse the leper. When they thrust the sword through Jesus' side, out came water and blood. Now, hear me, folks. We know that we cannot be forgiven except by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? But it is the blood mingled with the living water, the Word and the blood. And the blood and the effectiveness of the blood, the power of the cleansing and the blood is provided through the living Word of God. That means the Word that is delivered by the Holy Spirit of God through an individual. Amen? Not a dead letter, but a Word that God is speaking as we testify to Jesus, as we speak about the blood of Jesus. The effects of that blood are released and people can receive cleansing. Do you understand? It is in the Word, as the Spirit bears witness, that the blood is released. How many have heard this before? Well, let's take a look at it. 1 John 5 and 6. This is He who came by water and blood. Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by water and blood. And listen, it is the Spirit that bears witness. How are people saved? By the Word. And the Word contains the blood. The Word and the blood mingled together, being released through a spoken word that is released by the Holy Spirit, who is the one who's bearing witness to it. That's why we need to hear from God. Amen? It's not enough just to go to Bible studies. There's people that got Bible study crawling out of their ears. They've got information, information, information. But are you receiving a living word from God? It's the Spirit, the water, and the blood together, bearing witness here in the earth realm. Hallelujah. Is it not true that God chose the foolishness of preaching to save the lost? When you heard the word of your salvation and then you put faith in that word, once you believed, it became effective in you. When I received the fact, the truth that Jesus loves me, that He died for me, amen, and He's given me eternal life, and this life is in His blood, and I put my faith in the shed blood of Christ, then I am justified, I am forgiven. Hello?
Yes, amen.
Not because I didn't have anything to do with it. My part was simply to receive the testimony of God and say, I believe You, Lord. I receive You, Lord. It's making sense. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh, dwelt among us. And Jesus said, these words I speak unto you are spirit and they are life. Life-giving. There's a testimony in heaven. The blood of Jesus is where? On the mercy seat. Speaking better things than that of Abel. Crying out, amen, for mercy. The blood of Abel cried out for justice. Has anybody beside myself ever had murder in your heart? Maybe you wanted to kill somebody, you hated them so badly. No? Well, maybe you just got so mad at somebody, you held bitterness in your heart and contempt for that person. How many know that you can have murder in your heart without actually murdering somebody? That's why we've got to let it go, amen, if we want to receive God's mercy. Because Jesus bore that on the cross for us, amen? He paid for that sin as well. But we have to come to Him and we have to confess it and we have to renounce it. And we have to forgive one another. We're cleansed by the blood of Jesus, but it is the living Word of God that contains the precious ingredients of that blood. That's how it works. If we're going to plead the blood of Jesus, what we're doing is we're giving testimony to the power of the blood. Are you hearing me? Through the what? It has to be spoken by the Word, but it also has to be directed by the Holy Spirit. You know, as people, we can claim the blood and we can plead the blood, but if it's not by the Spirit of God, how many know that the Holy Spirit only moves in direction to to Jesus, amen? To what Jesus says. In other words, You and I can speak all day long. We can talk a good talk. We can quote scriptures. But it's only what's given by the Spirit that imparts life and cleansing. How many have listened to a message or the word and walked out of there feeling cleansed? Jesus says, you are clean because of the word I spoke unto you. Hallelujah. What does the blood do? The blood also protects. Amen. Covers. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. The second thing that had to happen here is the priests were to be clothed with new garments. So not only did they have to strip off their old, amen, and be washed, they had to put on the new garments. Now, this is the thing, is sometimes people go to step one, but they're not on step two here. You hear me? We've got the cleansing thing down, but we're not putting on Christ Jesus. We're not being clothed with Him. We're not being filled with Him. And so, God says, your garments are not good enough. How many know they didn't take those old garments and run them through the laundry and said, okay, that'll work. They said, get rid of them. The only garments that God accepts are the garments that He provides. And those garments are Christ. We are to be clothed in Christ. Because it's only the garment of God that will be anointed by God. The anointing was not to come upon any flesh. Hear me. You've got to be a new creation. You've got to be born again. And you've got to have the righteousness of Christ before you can receive the anointing. Now, there are people with a counterfeit anointing who are fleshly, sensual, and demonic. But to have the authentic anointing of God, there has to be a cleansing. There has to be a change of raiment. You have to be born again. Amen. And then when you have Christ, you can then receive the blessing of the anointing of God to come upon your head as it flows down from our great high priest, Jesus Christ, in the heavens. Our old nature has to be exchanged for this new nature. This garment also represents His righteousness. See, we can come before God and say, God, look at my new shirt. Ain't that something? I've been really good today. And what's that? Oh, I didn't know about that. I didn't see that. I mean, you know, God says, don't try to patch yourself up. Just get rid of the old. Be done. Die. Die to yourself. Take on the new man. Take on the new nature. Begin to listen to the new voice, amen, that's speaking to you, the Spirit of God. And begin to listen to the voice of the great Shepherd Jesus, amen. And be led of the Spirit of God. And if you walk in the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of your flesh nature, your sin nature. Okay, so thirdly, the priest had to be crowned with a turban. You know what those turbans look like, amen? And there was a gold plate with an inscription on it that said, Holiness unto the Lord. And basically what that's saying is that my whole life, I'm to be wholly consecrated to the Lord. My mind, my thoughts, my whole way of life is devoted to the ways of God. A priest was separated for a purpose. To do what? To serve God and people. Amen? To minister in the sanctuary. That means we are to abide in Him. He is our sanctuary. We are to abide in Christ, and we are to be selfless. A priest was never to be in it for themselves or with their own agenda. They were solely there to represent God to the people and bring the people to God. Are you hearing me? And we have to be careful because sometimes we get our own agendas in there and our own thoughts about what I would like to do and what I think God should anoint me to do. Well, God is the one who decides. We're just going to say, Lord, whatever you decide, I'm good with that. And whatever God does is awesome anyways. He was not to be in it for Himself. I'm kind of like Jesus, right? How many know that Jesus wasn't in it for Himself? If He was in it for Himself, we would still be in our sins. But Jesus says, as the Father sent me, now I'm sending you. I want you to do likewise. Follow my example. Walk with me, hook up with me, yoke with me, and together we're going to get the job done. So like Jesus, we're supposed to be wholly consecrated to the Lord. The priest was supposed to remain in that office. Amen? They weren't to have a double life. They had been called out. They had been sanctified or set apart for the purpose, again, of ministering to the Lord and to God's people. Every one of us, if you're in Christ today, if you're born again, you are called to the priestly office. The Bible says that God has made us kings and priests. He's made us kings and priests. So that means that we've got this thing wrong in a lot of ways because we think it's all about me. And if I get any benefits, it's just, God, what can you do for me? Do you understand? That is a complete perversion of the truth. But that's a popular message today, and there are plenty of preachers out there that'll tell you that it's all about you. Because that's a popular thing to hear. It's all about me. It's all about me. Anybody watching? You know, a priest was separated to be fully sanctified or set apart, devoted to God and to His service. And you know, God wants to take us into that place, into that realm of His joy and His peace and His love, and all the good fruits are in Him and not in us. So we have to put ourselves off, and we need to do it every day, and put on Christ. Just die to yourself. I want to say this. I heard a testimony of a pastor. I've said it before, but I want to share it with some of you today. For 10 years, the church was neutral. It didn't go anywhere. And then all of a sudden, this is in Africa. All of a sudden, it just spiked to where now that there was tens of thousands of people. People getting saved and healed and delivered and all that good stuff that God wants to do. And they says, what was the difference? What happened? All of a sudden, it was like flat line and then it just went up exponentially. And he says, well, it took God 10 years to get us, hear me, to die to ourselves. You know what God's doing? He's getting us to die to ourselves. When we're in that place where we're died to ourselves and we're like in this all the way, not just with lip service, but I mean with action and say, I'm all in. When we're dead to ourselves, then God is going to send the resurrection power of revival and renewal. Amen? Then there's going to be the greater witness of the Spirit through awesome signs and wonders and miracles. We've had a lot of miracles. We've had a lot of healings. But there's so much more that God wants to do. But He's got to get us out of the way. He's got to get me out of the way. And I'm willing. Are you willing? Are you willing to get out of the way? Now listen, in John 17:19, Jesus said this. This is that great prayer where He prayed for His disciples, but He also prayed for us. Listen to what Jesus said. And He says, and for their sakes, somebody say, their sakes, I sanctify myself. For their sakes, I set myself apart unto the Father. For the sake of others, I set myself apart unto the Father. You understand? What is God calling His church to do? For the sake of one another, we need to set ourselves apart. I'm here for you. It's not about me anymore. I don't care if I get a handshake or an attaboy. I want to hear that from Papa God. Amen? I want to be sanctified. I want to be set apart. And I want Father to say, this is my beloved Son. I'm pleased. Because I set myself apart for Him. That's my heart. I pray, God, make me a man after Your own heart. I want to have a heart like David. Minus the fornication or whatever it was. Amen. But I want to have a heart after His own heart. Thank you, Jesus. David was a worshiper. David loved being with God and just in His presence. Fourthly, almost there. Okay, you all right? The priest was then to be anointed with oil after what? After he received the clean linen or the clean garments. Then the anointing was to be released upon him. Amen? And this was also to consecrate him. Leviticus chapter 8, verse 12. And he poured some of the anointing oil on Aaron's head and anointed him to consecrate him. Now, that word consecrate also means sanctify, or it means to be set apart for the service of the Lord. So the anointing also has a part in separating us from that, amen, from the world unto God. I'm not talking about the people of the world. You know, I'm talking about the evil system of Antichrist. And the only basis that we have, folks, for unity is the anointing of God. It's the Spirit of God that unites our hearts. It's not because we try harder to get along. The world's been doing that for thousands of years. We can have unity when we are together in singleness of mind and purpose and vision. Amen? In the Spirit of God. It's amazing. You know, Jim was talking about this at one of our meetings, but how much we think alike around here. It's scary. It's wonderful, scary, yeah. But you know, yeah, it is wonderful. And that's because God is in us and God is doing a work and God is bringing us to the end of ourselves. Because how many here just want to see a mighty move of God? I mean, we're enjoying the presence of the Lord, but I'm talking about that's going to shake and wake this city up. Amen. Where people are going to be so convicted by the Holy Spirit, they're going to say, "What must I do to be saved?" That's what we need, amen? We need the Spirit of God to move in such conviction, such power, that people are taken to their knees. Amen. And the church is evangelized once again. That's what I'm praying for. That's what we're hoping for. And I'm asking you to join with us in this, to seek the Lord, to pray, amen, to be part of this with us. And let's do everything we can to promote harmony and peace among ourselves. But the best way to do that is to walk in the Spirit. Amen. Just stay clothed in Jesus. Amen. Because no matter what, anywhere you go, it may be through the grocery line, you're going through there, somebody's going to mistreat you. Somebody's not going to be nice to you. Amen. But if you're clothed in Him, if you're filled with Him, it's like you can bless those who curse you. That's how you know. If you're cursing those who curse you, it means you're in the flesh. And the anointing doesn't go on the flesh. It goes on the garment of Christ. Amen. So put on Jesus Christ every day. And when we gather together, Psalms 133 and 1, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Here it is. This is the type of what the high priest. It is like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron running down on the edge of his garments. Who are his garments? You and I, the body of Christ. As we're clothed in Christ, we're his body. He's the head in heaven. God wants to release the anointing, amen, upon his people. But it comes as his people unite, amen, and separate themselves unto the Lord. For the will and the purpose of God. Hallelujah. I pray that God has spoken to your heart today, as He's spoken to my heart, and that God is saying to all of us here, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Do you understand the yoke that we put upon ourselves is too heavy? The yoke that the enemy puts upon you. But God says, take my yoke upon you. Hook up with me, for my yoke is easy. And my burden is light. God is saying, come out from among them and be separate. And I'll receive you, says the Lord. Come out from the world. Come out from that way. Have your mind renewed, amen, through the word and the truth. But separate yourself unto God so you can be a priesthood. You can represent God, amen, to the people and bring the people to God and bring the requests. God's calling us to the priestly office. Every one of us here is a priest. Are you willing? Let me ask you today. To step up into that role. Are you willing to deny yourself? Are you willing to reconsecrate your life to Jesus? I'm saying reconsecrate. That means, Lord, I've heard it today. I know what you expect, and I'm willing to obey. I'm willing to separate myself. Folks, do you remember? Think back. Do you remember the time where you just couldn't get enough of Jesus? You couldn't get enough of the Word. You couldn't get enough church. You couldn't get enough, amen, being with God's people because you were hungry and your heart was on fire for God. Amen. And your whole life revolved around Jesus and the mission of God. That's who you wanted to live for. That's who satisfied you is Jesus. Amen. And you realize that there's a superior reality and it's in the kingdom. How many remember that? How many are still walking in that today? How many say, I want to get back there? I got my hand up. I want to get back there, Lord. I want to be honest. I want to say, Lord, I'm coming home. I'm readjusting my thinking, my direction. You don't have to, like the brother said the other night, you don't have to go back to the beginning. You just simply need to change your perspective and say, okay, Jesus, I was looking over here, but now I'm looking back at you. Amen. And oh, I can remember the times when people were disappointed when the doors were closed. There wasn't a service. I don't care if there was a snowstorm outside. People say, oh, we're not having church today. Are you hearing me? Where's that kind of hunger? Where's that kind of desire? Have we lost our wonder of what God wants to release and give to us? I say, Jesus, that's what I want. I want you to be the center of my joy, the center of my life. Jesus at the center of it all. Amen. And so it's no longer revolving around me, but it's revolving around Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, thank you. Right where you're at, you can talk to Jesus. Say, Lord, that's what I want. It's what I need. Help me. Help me to get back to that place. Restore me to my first love. Jesus, give me a heart of passion for you. A heart that longs for you. A heart that thirsts for you. A heart that wants to be with you. A heart that wants to walk with you. A heart that wants to hear you. A heart that seeks you again. Give me your heart, Lord. Forgive me for my sins. Forgive me for my lukewarmness. Forgive me for apathy. Forgive me for complacency. Forgive me for compromising with the world. God, bring me back. Bring me back to that place where I desire only you. Because I want to be a man after your own heart. I want to be a woman after your own heart. Just pray. Be willing to make the decision. It's your choice. You can say amen and walk out that door and forget all about it. Or you can say, you know what? I'm making a decision. And I'm going to stick to it. I'm going to get back in the Word. I'm going to get back in prayer. I'm going to get back in church. I'm going to get involved in what God is doing. I'm going to be a vessel. I want God to be number one in my life. I want the kingdom to be my priority. Not my stuff, my things, my family, my this, my that. But the kingdom to be my priority now. Because I've been sanctified. I've been set apart for this purpose, to be a priest unto God. That's what we're called to. If we've got a heart for that and we come together with that heart, with that unity and with that hunger and that thirst for Him, God will come. God will pour it out. God will bring in the greater miracles and the greater anointings for your life. You'll be a greater effective witness for Jesus. Amen. And the world's going to see Jesus and not us. God, we say, saturate us with your holy oil. Clothe us in your righteousness. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, I worship you. Hallelujah. Would you just lift up worship to the Lord right now? From your heart, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus. 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 You want to find your life? Lose it. Give it away. Give it to God. You'll find it. Your life will be in Him. Your hope will be in Him. Your joy, your strength will be in Him. Your victory is in Him. Hallelujah.